听力考试马上开始，请戴上耳机。录音开头有一段试听声音，约一分半钟。听力考试将在试音结束后正式开始。现在开始试音。
In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D.And decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Example, you will hear, When shall we start our work, Jane?
Tomorrow at 9 o'clock. But we must work quickly, for we have to finish everything before 2 in the afternoon.
For how long can they work? You will read, A.2 hours. B. 3 hours. C. 4 hours. D. 5 hours. From the conversation, we know that the two are talking about some work they will start at 9 o'clock in the morning and have to finish by 2 in the afternoon. Therefore, D. 5 hours is the correct answer. You should choose D on the answer sheet.And mark it with a single line through the center.
试音结束。听力考试现在开始。
College English Test, Band 6. Part 3. Listening Comprehension.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations.At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2.With a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. This is one of our best and least expensive 2-bedroom listings. It's located in a quiet building and it's close to bus lines.
That may be true, but look at it. It's awful. The paint has peeled off and the carpet is worn.And the stove is ancient.
What can we infer from the conversation?
Question 12. The pictures we took at the Botanical Garden should be ready tomorrow.
I can't wait to see them.I'm wondering if the shots I took are as good as I thought.
What is the woman eager to know?
Question 13. The handle of the suitcase is broken. Can you have it fixed by next Tuesday?
Let me see.I need to find a handle that matches, but that shouldn't take too long.
What does the man mean?
Question 14. This truck looks like what I need, but I'm worried about maintenance. For us,It'll have to operate for long periods of time in very cold temperatures.
We have several models that are specially adapted for extreme conditions. Would you like to see them?
What do we learn about the man from the conversation? Question 15. I think your boss will be very upset when he gets your letter of resignation.
That may be so. But in the letter, I just told him frankly I could no longer live with his poor management and stupid decisions.
What do we learn about the woman?
Question 16. I'd like to exchange this shirt. I've learned that the person I bought it for is allergic to wool.
Maybe we can find something in cotton or silk. Please come this way.
What does the woman want to do?
Question 17. Excuse me, miss. Did anyone happen to turn in a new handbag? You know it's a birthday gift for my wife.
Let me see. Oh, we've got quite a lot of women's bags here. Can you give me more detailed information, such as its color, the size, and the trademark?
Where does this conversation most probably take place?
Question 18. What are you going to do with the old house you inherited from your grandfather?
I once intended to sell it, but now I'm thinking of turning it into a guest house because it's still a solid structure.
What does the man plan to do with his old house?
Now, you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
When you write a novel, do you know where you're going, Dr. James?
Yes, you must really if you're writing the classical detective story, because it must be so carefully plotted and so carefully clued. I have schemes, I have charts, I have diagrams. It doesn't mean to say I always get it right. But I do plan before I begin writing. But what is so fascinating is how a book changes during the process of writing. It seems to me that creative writing is a process of revelation, really, rather than of creativity in the ordinary sense.
When you're planning the basic structure, do you like to go away to be sure that you're by yourself?
I need to be by myself, certainly. Absolutely. I can't even bear anybody else in the house. I don't mind much where I am, as long as I've got enough space to write, but I need to be completely alone.
Is that very important to you?
Oh, yes. I've never been lonely in all my life.
How extraordinary. Never?
No, never.
You're very lucky. Someone once said that there's a bit of ice at the heart of every writer.
Yes, I think this is true. The writer can stand aside from experience and look at it, watch it happening. There's this detachment. And I realize that there are obviously experiences which would overwhelm everyone. But very often, a writer can appear to stand aside, and this detachment makes people feel there's a bit of ice in the heart.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What is the key to writing a good classical detective story, according to the man? Question 20. What does the man mainly need when working on a book? Question 21. What does the man say about writers?
Conversation 2.
There's an element there about competition, though, isn't there? Because British railways are a nationalized industry, there's only one railway system in the country. If you don't like a particular can of baked beans, you can go and buy another. But if you don't like a particular railway, you can't go and use another.
Some people who write to me say this. They say that if you didn't have a monopoly, you wouldn't be able to do the things you do. Well, I don't think we do anything deliberately to upset our customers. We have particular problems. Since 1946, when the Transport Act came in, we were nationalized.
Do you think that's a good thing? Has it been a good thing for the railways, do you think, to be nationalized?
Oh, I think so, yes. Because in general, modes of transport are all around. Let's face the fact. The car arrived. The car is here to stay. There's no question about that.
So what you're saying, then, is that if the railways hadn't been nationalized, they would simply have disappeared?
Oh, I think they would have. They're disappearing fast in America. The French railways lose £1 billion a year. The German railways, £2 billion a year. But you see, those governments are prepared to pour money into the transport system to keep it going.
So in a sense, you're caught between two extremes. On the one hand, you're trying not to lose too much money. And on the other hand, you've got to provide the best service.
Yes, you're right. Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. What does the woman say about British Railways? Question 23. What do some people who write to the man complain about? Question 24. What does the man say threatens the existence of railways? Question 25. What does the man say about railways in other countries?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices, marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2, with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Among global warming's most frightening threats is the prediction that the polar ice caps will melt, raising sea levels so much that coastal cities from New York to Los Angeles to Shanghai will be flooded. Scientists agree that the key player in this scenario is the West Antarctic Ice Sheet, a Brazil-sized mass of frozen water that's as much as 7,000 feet thick. Unlike floating ice shelves, which have little impact on sea level when they break up, the ice sheet is anchored to bedrock, well below the sea's surface. Surrounded by open ocean, it is also vulnerable. But Antarctic experts disagree strongly on just how unstable it is. Now, new evidence reveals that all or most of the West Antarctic ice sheet collapsed at least once during the past 1.3 million years, a period when global temperatures probably were not significantly higher than they are today, and the ice sheet was assumed to have been stable. In geologic time, a million years is recent history. The proof, which was published last week in Science, comes from a team of scientists from Uppsala University in Sweden and the California Institute of Technology, who drilled deep holes near the edge of the ice sheet. Within samples collected from the solid substance lying beneath the ice, they found fossils of microscopic marine plants, which suggest that the region was once an open ocean, not solid ice. As Hermann Engelhardt, a co-author from the California Institute of Technology, says, the West Antarctic ice sheet disappeared once and can disappear again.
Questions 26 to 29 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What is one of the most frightening threats of global warming according to the passage? Question 27. What do scientists disagree on? Question 28. What does the latest information reveal about the West Antarctic ice sheet? Question 29. What do scientists' latest findings suggest? Passage 2. It's always fun to write about research that you can actually try out for yourself. Try this. Take a photo and upload it to Facebook. Then after a day or so, note what the URL link to the picture is, and then delete it. Come back a month later and see if the link works. Chances are, it will. Facebook isn't alone here. Researchers at Cambridge University have found that nearly half of the social networking sites don't immediately delete pictures when a user requests they be removed. In general, photocentric websites, like Flickr, were found to be better at quickly removing deleted photos upon request. Why do deleted photos stick around so long? The problem relates to the way data is stored on large websites. While your personal computer only keeps one copy of a file, large-scale services, like Facebook, rely on what are called content delivery networks to manage data and distribution. It's a complex system wherein data is copied to multiple intermediate devices, usually to speed up access to files when millions of people are trying to access the service at the same time. But because changes aren't reflected across the content delivery networks immediately, ghost copies of files tend to linger for days or weeks. In the case of Facebook, the company says data may hang around until the URL in question is reused, which is usually after a short period of time, though obviously that time can vary considerably.
Questions 30 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 30. What does the speaker ask us to try out? Question 31. What accounts for the failure of some websites to remove photos immediately? Question 32. When will the unwanted data eventually disappear from Facebook, according to the company? Passage 3. Enjoying an iced coffee? Better skip dinner or hit the gym afterwards, with a cancer charity warning that some iced coffees contain as many calories as a hot dinner. The World Cancer Research Fund, WCRF, conducted a survey of iced coffees sold by some popular chains in Britain, including Starbucks, Cafe Nero, and Costa Coffee, to gauge the calories as studies increasingly link obesity with cancer. The worst offender, a coffee from Starbucks, had 561 calories. Other iced coffees contained more than 450 calories, and the majority had in excess of 200. Health experts advise that the average woman should consume about 2,000 calories a day, and a man about 2,500 calories, to maintain a healthy weight. Dieters aim for 1,000 to 1,500 calories a day. The fact that there is an iced coffee on the market with over a quarter of a woman's daily calories allowance is alarming. Dr. Rachel Thompson, science program manager at London-based WCRF, said in a widely reported statement, "This is the amount of calories you might expect to have in an evening meal, not in a drink." The WCRF has estimated that 19,000 cancers a year in Britain could be prevented if people lost their excess weight, with growing evidence that excess body fat increases the risk of various cancers. If you are having these types of coffee regularly, then they will increase the chances of you becoming overweight, which in turn increases your risk of developing cancer, as well as other diseases such as heart disease, she added.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33. What warning did some health experts give? Question 34. What does the author suggest people do after they have an iced coffee? Question 35. What could British people expect if they maintained a normal body weight according to the WCRF? Section C. Directions. In this section, you'll hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks, numbered from 36 to 43, with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard, or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
Psychologists are finding that hope plays a surprisingly vital role in giving people a measurable advantage in realms as diverse as academic achievement, bearing up in tough jobs, and coping with tragic illness. And, by contrast, the loss of hope is turning out to be a stronger sign that a person may commit suicide than other factors long thought to be more likely risks. Hope has proven a powerful predictor of outcome in every study we've done so far, said Dr. Charles R. Snyder, a psychologist who has devised a scale to assess how much hope a person has. For example, in research with 3,920 college students, Dr. Snyder and his colleagues found that the level of hope among freshmen at the beginning of their first semester was a more accurate predictor of their college grades than were their SAT scores or their grade point averages in high school, the two measures most commonly used to predict college performance. Students with high hope set themselves higher goals and know how to work to attain them, Dr. Snyder said. When you compare students of equivalent intelligence and past academic achievements, what sets them apart is hope. In devising a way to assess hope scientifically, Dr. Snyder went beyond the simple notion that hope is merely the sense that everything will turn out all right. That notion is not concrete enough, and it blurs two key components of hope, Dr. Snyder said. Having hope means believing you have both the will and the way to accomplish your goals, whatever they may be.
Now the passage will be read again. Psychologists are finding that hope plays a surprisingly vital role in giving people a measurable advantage in realms as diverse as academic achievement, bearing up in tough jobs, and coping with tragic illness. And, by contrast, the loss of hope is turning out to be a stronger sign that a person may commit suicide than other factors long thought to be more likely risks. Hope has proven a powerful predictor of outcome in every study we've done so far, said Dr. Charles R. Snyder, a psychologist who has devised a scale to assess how much hope a person has. For example, in research with 3,920 college students, Dr. Snyder and his colleagues found that the level of hope among freshmen at the beginning of their first semester was a more accurate predictor of their college grades than were their SAT scores or their grade point averages in high school, the two measures most commonly used to predict college performance. Students with high hope set themselves higher goals and know how to work to attain them. Dr. Snyder said. When you compare students of equivalent intelligence and past academic achievements, what sets them apart is hope. In devising a way to assess hope scientifically, Dr. Snyder went beyond the simple notion that hope is merely the sense that everything will turn out all right. that notion is not concrete enough, and it blurs two key components of hope, Dr. Snyder said. Having hope means believing you have both the will and the way to accomplish your goals, whatever they may be.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. Psychologists are finding that hope plays a surprisingly vital role in giving people a measurable advantage in realms as diverse as academic achievement, bearing up in tough jobs, and coping with tragic illness. And, by contrast, the loss of hope is turning out to be a stronger sign that a person may commit suicide than other factors long thought to be more likely risks. Hope has proven a powerful predictor of outcome in every study we've done so far, said Dr. Charles R. Snyder, a psychologist who has devised a scale to assess how much hope a person has. For example, in research with 3,920 college students, Dr. Snyder and his colleagues found that the level of hope among freshmen at the beginning of their first semester was a more accurate predictor of their college grades than were their SAT scores or their grade point averages in high school, the two measures most commonly used to predict college performance. Students with high hope set themselves higher goals and know how to work to attain them, Dr. Snyder said. When you compare students of equivalent intelligence and past academic achievements, what sets them apart is hope. In devising a way to assess hope scientifically, Dr. Snyder went beyond the simple notion that hope is merely the sense that everything will turn out all right. That notion is not concrete enough, and it blurs two key components of hope, Dr. Snyder said. Having hope means believing you have both the will and the way to accomplish your goals, whatever they may be.
This is the end of listening comprehension.
现在听力考试结束，请取下耳机，开始第四部分的答题。